time for another edition of Retirement Approved with Matt and Steve Paul from Richard W. Paul and Associates and myself here to talk about, dude, I got scammed again. I feel like I should sing like the Beatles or something, but I know we'll get in trouble. You know, the YouTube algorithm wouldn't like that very much, but it's like, hey, dude, got scammed again. What's going on, guys? How you doing this week? I want to talk about scams and just kind of going through these different things that are out there and maybe give some tips and some pointers for folks. Cause you know, I mean, new year, tax season, Christmas season, it doesn't seem to matter. Like the scammers are always in full flipping throat. Right. So let's talk about it a little bit. Steve, what's going on, buddy?
These new scams are constantly coming up. Cause this even us, this could be some deep fake AI stuff right now.
Steve Paul?
Is it even me?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who's deep faking you, man, but maybe you never know. What's going on, Matt? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for this one. This is an episode a lot of clients have been asking for because everyone's on guard and we work with seniors and they never know what they're getting into.
I mean, not just seniors. I've called you and been like, hey, what am I dealing with here?
Well, I was getting ready to say, I'm going to take offense to this because I have a story and I'm not a senior.
Hey, we're all susceptible.
That's right. So check this out. Let me see what you guys think. So I got this call the other day from my bank. You know, only problem is the bank that called me is not my bank. I've never done any banking with them. So they're like, you know, trying to ask these questions. And of course I immediately hung up. Right.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it happens all over the place. And like that one thing that happens a lot now too, right. They do stuff like, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And they're waiting for you to say, yes, I can hear you. And then they just take the yes and they use that to kind of like confirm whatever. So I always, you know, if you ever get that kind of just stuff, say, I can hear you. Don't say yes, you know, or just hang up. Right.
It is a scary world out there. Does anything ever good come from answering a phone call from someone you don't
know?
Yeah, I know. Right. So I'll one up your banking story, Mark, and tell a story about my lovely brother here, who bought a couple pairs of shoes called Hey Dudes. Thus the name of the episode. Hey,
the name of the show.
I got scammed again. So there are these shoes. They're kind of like boat shoes, comfort shoes, wear them in the house, wear them outside. I don't even know. But he clicked on this ad. I think his wife sent it to him from Facebook and bought two pairs of shoes for like $6 or something. I don't know what it was. And
$6. That should have been a warning sign, man.
Come on now. It was two for 40. Come on. There's no need to exaggerate here. And he's not going to let me live it down. I swear for like a month after this happened, every morning he'd walk in and go, hey, dude, you get your shoes yet? Like, come on, man. Let it go. But it happens to everyone. It happened to my wife. Yeah. She was on Facebook. She clicked a link. It was before, you know, Christmas. She thought she was getting a deal. She showed me it. The website looked legit. It looked like the actual Hey Dude website. I said, sure. Order a few pairs for us. And we were duped. I mean, they got us for, you know, $50. Not the end of the world. Frustrating.
Right.
Not the end of the world. A lot worse can happen, though. I mean, that's a very basic minor scam, but a lot worse can happen.
Yeah, Matt, like you were saying, you guys work with seniors a lot, right? You know, and so, or pre-retirees even. It's like, hey, you know, $50 is still $50, right?
Yeah, well, that's the issue is. Seniors have a heck of a lot more money than a millennial with $100,000 in student debt.
Well, let's be honest with these boomers too, especially the female boomers. You love a good deal. We know you love a good deal. Christmas shopping starts in January, right? So you get these ads where it's, hey, you know, buy two pairs for $40 and you're going to jump on it before it expires. So you need to be really careful. And I have a great chart. So this just shows the different forms of cybercrime. And what I want to focus on here is the phishing scam. So you'll see in the 2017 chart here, only 15.3% were phishing scams. You fast forward 5 years, 2022, over 50%.
Wow.
So it's really easy to do this. I mean, you just build this fake site. Someone's going to click on it. You don't need to bat 1,000. If you can get 1 out of 10 people, you're making a heck of a profit.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
it is the law of large numbers. Mm-hmm. They send 3.4 billion spam emails a day, and if they just get a fraction of a percent, they're doing well. Google blocks 100 million phishing emails a day. It's insane.
That's crazy.
Yep. And I'll throw another chart up. So this chart here shows what types of companies are people impersonating, the scammers impersonating, because that's what phishing is. They're going to send you an email and it's going to look legitimate. It's going to be from a company like Facebook to reset your password, or UPS, because you have a package. You can see that top category right there is delivery companies, because we're all getting endless amounts of packages. And if we have a delayed package, we want to know what it's about. So we're going to click on it and log in.
Never click the link. Never click the link. Don't call a number that they give you. Go Google the company, call customer service and verify directly. Never click the link.
Yeah, my mom's 82 and I tell her that all the time, and she's pretty good, but every now and again she'll be like, "Hey, I just got something from, you know, such and such." And I'm like, "Okay, don't click it. Don't mess with it. Just go call them directly. Just go onto the account directly. You know, don't go through any communication that you received, go there directly and then deal with it and see if it's a real thing." And 9 times out of 10, it's definitely a fake, you know?
Yeah. It's the same with your unwanted phone call, Mark. Nothing good comes from an unsolicited email as well. So you just run through the list of companies on that chart one more time. We've got delivery companies at the top, banks, e-commerce, government services, even. So we have a lot of clients saying, "Hey, I got a call from Social Security." No, you didn't. They don't call you.
They do not call you. You
just walk into the office.
Really careful. Let me add to that too. If you had a call from your bank and they say, "If you don't believe it's your bank, go ahead and Google this number." Then you go to Google that number and Chase customer service could pop up. They can dupe you there. So be very careful. Yeah. Just if your bank's calling you, hang up, call customer service. Do not call a number that they give you. And if they email you, do not click on the link.
Yeah, better for yet. Sure. There's a Chase on every corner. Just go there. But when in doubt, it's a scam. That's what we like to tell people. But let's go back to phishing real quick. So there's really two main types of phishing events. So the first one is just that bait. Are you a real email user? Are you going to click this link? Can we get you to maybe even log in to a website, like an email reset? That's harmless, right? Hey, your email is about to expire. You probably want access to that. Go ahead and click this link, log in, reset your password. So that's the simple bait. And then there's a little bit more advanced phishing. So that's where they're going to get more information about you. Learn what you like. Learn what your grandma's middle name is. Learn what high school you went to. Things like that. They're going to do it in a subtle manner, but that's called social engineering. And that's spear phishing, where it's a little bit more targeted to you and probably a little bit more advanced of someone doing it. So you're on the hook for more money.
That's a great point. And, you know, like you guys were mentioning Facebook, that's one of those places, and hopefully most people realize this by now, but if you're not, if you're sitting around and you want to engage in these posts where, "What kind of car did you drive in high school?" Right. You know, and it's like 10,000 people are typing the model of the car they drove in high school. How many of you are also using that as one of your security questions, right? So don't put where you went to high school. Don't put the kind of car. Don't put your dog's name or your face. You know, we all like to share information, but it's all just ways that they're trying to get people can kind of get stuff.
That's exactly right. And keep that stuff private. Like, you don't need the public seeing that. Just share it with your friends. That's about it. Get some likes, call it a day. But rolling through some other types of scams. So we talked about phishing. There's going to be government impersonation or business imposter scams. So that's kind of like we talked about. Could be an email, could be a phone call. Your caller ID could show a completely different name. It could show a name of a company or a person, where they're tricking you and they're not that person. Yep. Then the worst one we've seen lately is where they somehow get you to download a program that looks like an antivirus program, something like that. It says, "Hey, your computer's infected. You have 1,000 viruses that you need to clean up. For some reason, we can't do it for you. You need to call this number, this tech support number," and they get you on the phone and you're on the phone with tech support. So anytime you're on the phone with tech support, verify that it is that tech support, whether it's hanging up and just calling again and waiting on hold. That is way worth it in the long run there. So just be careful what you're downloading, what pop-ups are coming up, what sites you're on.
If something pops up, just don't click on it. So if it's a software update, something to do with antivirus, "Hey, there's a virus. We can help you. Click this, download this." Don't download anything, because then you're just opening the door to your computer.
Yep.
Then they're into everything. So if you see anything pop up, if you're, you know, downloading a movie or some sort of program, or you're on a dating site and something pops up, or you're on a naughty site or something like that and something pops up. Don't click any of that. Okay.
You know, oddly enough, you mentioned that, Steve, it's, you would think that seniors are the number one, you know, targeted, and they are heavily targeted, mm-hmm. but the ones that, that the statistics show, the data shows that the people that fall for it or do the most of this stuff is actually Gen Zers, go figure. You would think that they would be a lot wiser because they're more savvy and hip to this stuff, but, or at least to their devices, but they're always there, right? So it's the law of numbers, right? It's just playing the percentages.
That's exactly right. So they're more likely to get duped because there's more of them connected to the internet. The funny thing is, though, they're not the highest dollar amount when it comes to who gets scammed. Then that becomes the boomers and the older generation. So they're bigger fish.
We have quite a few clients that still carry around a flip phone too. It's like, try to hack this. See what you can do. See what you can get.
Love it. Exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of older, right? There's that grandparent scam too, right? Going around.
Yes. Yep.
You know, you call and say, I need money, grandma, or whatever. And it's not your granddaughter.
Exactly. Impersonation could be, hey, grandpa, I'm out in Europe and I got robbed, lost my phone and my credit cards. I need you to wire me some money. I'm in a pinch. Well, give her a call. I guarantee she answers.
Right.
So it's one of those. You just have to call, verify, never assume an email.
Their email has been compromised at this point. It's been hacked. And that's what we talked about. Don't download anything. Don't let people into your computer, because we've actually broke the news to clients several times that their email's been hacked. We'd get that email. Hey, can you send my cousin some money in Kentucky? They need $10,000. And we'll reach out to the client to verify it's them. Sure enough, it's not. We have to let them know their email's been hacked, and we need to help them with resetting everything.
It goes all the way back to that Nigerian prince that's been emailing me since the 90s, telling me he's got a ton of money for me. So, you know, soon. It's only been 30 years. You know?
That's the olden days type of scam, but now scams are more intricate.
They're advanced.
There's a new type of currency involved, cryptocurrency. So if I'm a scammer, the ideal form of payment for me is cryptocurrency, because there's no reversing those transactions. It's anonymous, so you just see a string of letters and numbers as my address. It's borderless, so I can send money to wherever, Romania or Japan, and not even know where it's going. And it's pretty much instant. So anything that's saying, hey, you need to pay me in crypto, ignore it, delete it, move on with your life.
A scam. Just be done with it.
It's a scam.
It's a scam. If it's, hey, you got to pay me in Bitcoin, that's the only thing I'll take, or Dogecoin or whatever it may, it's a scam. Shut it down.
More than likely. Yeah. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's bring up 5 tips that we can share with the viewers and listeners here that might benefit them. So let's jump in and do 5 tips.
So my first tip would be, and I do this too. So I have a couple different laptops at home. I have one for entertainment that my kids are going to use. They're going to go stream movies, maybe download music, download some programs possibly on that computer. That is purely for entertainment. I do not do any of my banking on that computer. I do not pay bills on that computer. I have a separate computer that I pay bills. I do my banking. I check my accounts. I do trading on. Have 2 separate computers, and they make it so easy now. I mean, what's a decent Chromebook? $250. It's worth it to protect your banking and your retirement accounts.
Yep. And then, just like he said, be careful what you click or download. We've already said that one. So tip 1, keep your software up to date. Tip 2, be careful what you click or download. Then tip 3 is really a popular one these days. So what I'm going to do is we're going to talk passwords for a minute. A very boring subject, a very irritating subject. Nobody likes passwords anymore.
Baby boomers hate passwords, especially complicated ones.
Well, so, and they've gotten crazy, right? Like, now you got to do like 22 characters.
Yeah, let's look at it. I got the charts for you. So
okay. All right.
The thing is, technology is increasing at a rapid exponential pace right now. So just look at 2020, and let's go to number of characters and look at year 10. And then let's just go all the way to the far right column. So that's when you use numbers, lowercase, uppercase numbers, symbols, as secure as you can get. And if you just had a 10-digit password, it would take a hacker 5 years to brute force that password. And what we're talking about here is when one of those large companies has a data breach, and all their data gets extracted, and then people are trying to crack the passwords from there. But then fast forward to 2023, a new chart. We're going to look at that same box that took 5 years to crack. Now it takes 2 weeks. That's how fast this technology is moving. So really,
wow.
Yeah, you want to move your passwords down to that 15, 16, 17 digit length, which is obnoxious. I get it. I don't
right.
especially when we're talking about your banking and your custodian, where you're holding your retirement accounts. You want those to be extremely complicated passwords. If we're talking about your Papa John's account and your password stuff crust all lowercase, that's fine. I don't care about your Papa points, but your right. retirement accounts, your banking, we want to make those extremely complicated passwords.
Well, Steve, let me ask you that though. But if you've got your credit card saved on there, maybe you should go longer on your Papa John's password, right?
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah. You get those Papa points too, those, you know.
That's true. I mean, they're very valuable. But do you even need to save? Like, if a site won't force you to save your credit card and you don't mind putting it in each time, I mean, is there a better way to go? Should we put it on each time or let it store it, you know?
Yeah, well, fortunately, we have two very good companies at the top of the chain here, Apple and Google, mm-hmm. and they're very good with data. You haven't really heard much in terms of data breaches with them, so that's pretty darn secure. It doesn't hurt to not do that and enter it each time, but I know that can get annoying. I get it. But
well, I think scammers, to your point, Matt, they prey on the frustration or time constraints, right? I'm just going to go, somebody calls, I'm going to immediately just talk to them and see if I can get it handled because I don't have time to deal with this. Or my password needs to be short and easy because I don't have time to deal with this and reset it because then it takes another half an hour, right? Exactly. So they're banking on the fact that you're literally that, you know, that you are busy and don't have time for this stuff.
Exactly. Yep. So secure password storage is a huge one. And we definitely see that with our clients here where they keep their passwords on an Apple note on their phone or a Microsoft Word document on their home computer. And that's exactly what you don't want to do. It'd be better to just write it in a notebook and throw it in your desk. Because guess what? A hacker's not going to hack. They're not going to hack your desk and notebook. I don't think
analog, we're that good baby. Yet.
The other thing that you may want to look at is just going above and beyond the password. Set a difficult password, that's great. But then I know we've helped a few of our clients set up two-factor authentication, which is really valuable.
Yeah. So what two-factor authentication means is probably most people are familiar with it. But when you log into a site, it kicks out a code to you. So a lot of people just use the text message. I prefer to go one step further and use an app like Google Authenticator that generates the code because that protects you from what's called SIM swaps. SIM swaps are just simply when AT&T lets someone take over your phone number, or Verizon, don't want to throw AT&T under the bus. But then if they do that, now they can reset your password, get into your account. So really, now we'll get into the final step, which is if you do get scammed, don't be embarrassed and don't be ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah. And reach out to your financial advisor right away. Reach out and let us know, even if it's like, I probably didn't get scammed, but you know, something weird just went down and we can put a restriction on your account. So an extra layer of security at the custodian, at Fidelity, to make sure your accounts are secure. So if there's any suspicious activity, we can immediately go in and shut that down.
That's exactly right. So advisor, law enforcement, credit bureaus too, so they can freeze your credit so no accounts are open in your name.
Yeah, and I think, Matt, that's a great way to end it too, is don't be embarrassed, because at this point in the world, it's just all the time, right? So do yourself a favor and make sure you're doing a few little tips to protect yourself, a couple little, you know, cheesy, easy things here that you can do. And sometimes that's what we need because it's a fast-paced, busy world. So, you know, take a few steps, protect yourself, and it could make things a lot easier on the backside. So that's going to do it this time for the podcast. Of course, as always, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple or Spotify in the audio form, Retirement Approved, or you can also just check it out on YouTube as well. Have some YouTube shorts up there and the full-length videos as well, and we'll have the links and everything available for you. As a matter of fact, you can make it easy. Just go to rwpaul.com, talk about going directly to the source on the website, go directly to rwpaul.com, and then you can just click on the podcast page and it'll have the multiple episodes. This is episode number 3, so you can check it out that way on the site, or you can then subscribe to us on YouTube, which we certainly appreciate. So if you enjoy the content, also share it with others that might, you know, benefit from the show as well. Guys, thanks for hanging out, breaking it down as always, and Steve, watch the shoes, man. Watch the
shoes. Come on, man.
Hey, dude.
You guys have a great one. Be careful. We'll see you next time. And if you got extra Papa points and you don't need them, Let me know. We'll just, you know, we'll talk.
I have
about
three
it.
Kids. I don't share my Papa points, man.
All right. All right. We'll see you next time right here on Retirement Approved.
All right. Take care.
Retirement Approved is brought to you by Richard W. Paul & Associates, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Throughout the presentation, we may generally discuss different financial vehicles. However, nothing we say should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle, nor should it be used to make decisions today about your investments or insurance. For full disclosures, check the show notes of today's episode.